cello concerto, freely adapted from a harpsichord concerto by Georg Matthias Mann, who wouldn't have known what hit him, the cello concerto of Arnold Schoenberg, played by cellist Yo-Yo Ma, and the Boston Symphony, conducted by Seiji Osawa. The time in just a few seconds now will be 8 o'clock. You're tuned on this Wednesday evening to 91.5 Classical KUSC Los Angeles, to 88.7 KQSC Santa Barbara, to 88.5 KPSC Palm Springs, to 91.1 KDSC Thousand Oaks, to KUSC FM 1 Santa Clarita, or to KUSC.org. We are the member-supported broadcast service of the University of Southern California, home of the Doctors of USC. When the Austrian composer Erich Zeisel first arrived in Los Angeles, he came with a letter of recommendation from his friend Hans Eisler, who suggested that Erich Zeisel, when he arrived in Los Angeles, take some lessons from his old teacher Arnold Schoenberg. Well, that didn't happen for a number of reasons. Number one, when Erich Zeisel arrived in Los Angeles, he was already a fully formed composer. And number two, he was so broke he couldn't have taken lessons with anyone, much less Arnold Schoenberg. The story does have a happy ending, because eventually Arnold Schoenberg's son, Ron, married Erich Zeisel's daughter, Barbara. Well, we're going to begin remembering Erich Zeisel on this, the 50th anniversary of his death, with one of the most intensely moving works ever written in response to the Holocaust, a work that Erich Zeisel began composing in 1944, of which the composer said, "I wrote the work in memory of my father, the victim of the Nazis. Its sadness and mood are reflected now, one can safely say, in every Jewish heart. And this may guarantee the work performances beyond the synagogue service." And in fact, this deeply moving work by Erich Zeisel, his setting of the 92nd Psalm, has begun attracting some extremely important interpreters in recent years, including Zubin Mehta, James Conlon, and Lawrence Foster, who made its first commercial recording as part of the Decca Intatita Musik series, featuring music by composers who were either suppressed or displaced by the Nazis. Here is that Decca recording of the Requiem Ebraico by Erich Zeisel, the soloists, the Berlin Radio Choir and Orchestra, are led by Lawrence Foster.
Thank you. Thank you.
Requiem Ebraico, the composer's setting of the 92nd Psalm. The Requiem Ebraico by Eric Zeisel, performed on that Decca recording by soprano Deborah Riedel, mezzo-soprano Della Jones, bass baritone Michael Krauss, with the Berlin Radio Chorus, the Berlin Radio Children's Chorus, and the Berlin Radio Symphony, conducted by Lawrence Foster. And I think it's interesting. This is a point that has been frequently made about your father, and I think it kind of applies to your father-in-law, Arnold Schoenberg, as well, in that after both were forced to flee Hitler's Europe, they became so intensely interested in their Jewish past. One of the first things Schoenberg did after he arrived in Paris in 1933 was to formally reconvert to the Jewish faith. And I think your father, after he was forced to leave his native Austria, became more and more intensely Jewish in his music.
Definitely. As a matter of fact, it's almost like you use the word conversion for Schoenberg. In Paris, he became acquainted with the work of Josef Roth, who was, I guess it would be Joe Roth here, but anyhow, Josef Roth, who had also been in exile and died miserably in Paris in 1939. And my father had been asked to write the music for a play that these refugees made of his Josef Roth's Hiob, Job. It's a modern-day Job, Eastern European Russian Jew who then comes to America. My father was so taken with the story and identified so much with that he wanted to make that into an opera, and that really was his life's work. Unfortunately, with circumstances, struggling for a living, the librettist, Hans Kafka, a friend, never could finish until 1958, and when he finished, then my father worked feverishly on it. He got a grant from the Huntington Hartford Foundation and then was felled by a heart attack, so he never completed. He only completed the first two acts. But from that point on, his music definitely had a Hebraic cast to it.
Sure, sure. Well, as we've just heard in, I think, one of the great choral works of the 20th century, the Requiem Ebraico, which we heard tonight on the 50th anniversary of the death of this immensely talented composer, Eric Zeisel. His daughter, Dr. Barbara Zeisel Schoenberg, has stopped in this evening. We're going to be playing her father's music tonight and talking about his brief and fascinating career. Barbara, welcome to KUSC.
Thank you very much, Jim, and thank you for your statements.
He, like so many emigre composers, I mean, he went first to Paris, then to New York, and like so many wonderful composers, eventually wound up in Los Angeles, where he was drawn, as so many of them were, to films. And the other night, Turner Classic Movies is playing Lassie Come Home, and I'm watching the thing, and I'm a dog lover, so, you know, I always just dissolve at three or four key points. And I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, well, you know, as much as I admire the work of Daniel Amfitheatrov, I didn't know he was quite this good. And then, you know, I suddenly realized, well, some of the great moments were your father's work.
Well, he only composed two scenes for Lassie, the fight scene, and there's another scene, I have it in my memory, the two crooks, where they come upon Edmund Gwenn and Lassie at a fire camp. But basically, he was a drone. He had been recommended by Hans Eisler in New York to come to Hollywood and compose for MGM, which he did. And he composed music, as I said, as a factory drone alongside Castelnuovo Todesco. They had several composers together on these films. Slightly Dangerous with Lana Turner, and another one was Without Love with Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. But as I said, it was just a scene or two. And the interesting thing is that the person who wrote the title music, usually Bronislaw Kaper, they got the whole title credits, the credits for the film, so you never knew who these drones were that worked on these films.
Sure. Well, let's continue with a very big, relatively late chamber work, the Second String Quartet from 1953, which, among so many other things, along with, you know, an intensely dramatic opening and closing movement, has this heart-wrenching slow movements. I think you'll agree.
Yes, it's really one of my favorites. I think it was my mother's also, and I think the whole Second String Quartet was composed for her. My father titled the second movement as a conversation between him and God. And the music to me is not only sad, but almost softly reprimanding, you know, why did you do this? Why am I here? What has happened? That is something, my own take on that second movement, maybe because I knew my father. Mostly to the outside world, he was gregarious, very enthusiastic. Stravinsky used plein d'enthousiasme in his condolence letter to my mother. But privately, he felt great sadness at having to leave Austria. He loved his native country and was never able to return because he was felled of a heart attack at 53 years of age and never had the means to return, but the love remained. And so you feel that in that second movement, I feel. Yeah. The first is full of energy, which he also had, another side of him.
Yeah. We'll hear from 1953, the Second String Quartet by Eric Zeisel, this performance by the Brandeis String Quartet.